number of important announcements before we start. Today's shmooze is really going to be the most important shmooze you're going to hear in the next half an hour. So, okay, first of all, just let's come to. It's come to our attention that it seems that some people didn't get food in the last few months. after much negotiations and threats and so on and so forth, with just to let you know, the caterer has today. Today's the last day that we are going to give him the last chance. If he can get his act together today, so then we'll continue the next day. But it basically, it's any day that he blows it, then we will have to figure out another solution. But that's another. Nothing really to talk about. Okay. Not to leave it up to chance after your fast, and due to the fact that we have a special siyum from Besetz Megillah, Rabbi Fuchs, Rabbi Willikshir, we're going to have a special break fast dinner on Thursday night after the Marv. I think it's going to be here in the auditorium. We have Holy Bagel catering. Should be lots of good food, bagels and spreads and lasagna and pizza and so on and so forth. That is in honor of the Siyum. There is regular night seder will follow. And Mishmar, regular Mishmar fair. Okay, also this Shabbos, looking forward to a very, very special Shabbos. Shabbos Zachar is always a highlight in Yeshiva. Rabbi Moshe Willer will be here, Rabbi Benny Eisner will be here. Possibly one of the other day. Thank you. And that's as far as the rest of the week goes. Oh, very important, tomorrow. All of you going on Poland trip must come to the meeting, not like any previous meeting you had to come. This, you actually must come tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I'm going to be leading a session, but most importantly, more important than the session, just going to go into a lot of the technical details. A lot of you asking, what do I need to bring to Poland? So if you need to buy things before you go, which some of you probably will want to buy certain things, tomorrow's a chance to hear what it is you need, besides this other prep lecture, session, whatever, before Poland. It's the penultimate one. The last one's going to be given actually by Dr. Sherman at the end of this month when he comes. But you must be there tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Okay, Sunday, schedule's posted on the week's events, but just clarify, Sunday. There is no regular shiur or seder. I think 7:30 shacharis. I'm not sure if there's a later one. 7:30 shacharis on Sunday morning. There's going to be mincha regular 12:45, followed by lunch, and then the levush is leaving to Beit Shemesh and Ramah Beit Shemesh. We'll make a stop first at Beit Shemesh, then go to Ramah Beit Shemesh, and then the buses will take you back from Ramah Beit Shemesh back here in time for the Marav and Megillah reading. The request is, and it's a serious request, that to Marav and Megillah reading you come dressed for Yontif, which is the din of Purim. You're supposed to dress big day Shabbos for Purim. And then you want to change into your costumes afterwards, which we encourage you to do so. That's later for the Chagigah. Chagigah will start around 8:30, 8:45 here in the... here in the auditorium, together with Chris, we have a Hey Dalit coming from America special to be here. Hey Dalit? No, the Dalit. Anyways, they're well known in certain circles, and they're going to be the band here for Purim, Mitzvah Shem. Chagiga is we'll talk about it a little bit later, and that's. On the Shushan Purim morning, Monday morning, there's going to be a Vasika minion. We'll talk about that. The Vasika minion. There's going to be a later minion for the Grus guys, and then we're going to post this Mitzvah Sayom, which you should take care of in the morning. And there's going to be everyone's invited to Sudas of the Rebbeim in Yerushalayim. It's going to be should be posted either today or tomorrow. Which Suda you'll be going to? After all the sudos, we're going to collect everyone in buses from those who are in like Ramat Eshkol area or other areas that are not walking distance. But if you're, you know, if you're Rabbi Wroblewski or Rabbi Fuchs, mostly is walking distance, and Rabbi Ifra is joining Rabbi Wroblewski. So everyone's going to gather back here. Towards evening, we're going to have here a post Suda Tish, and here in the lobby of the that's basically the and the last thing I'm going to mention just is. I think I forgot if it's Tuesday or Wednesday. It's on the schedule in my office. I forgot whether it's Tuesday or Wednesday following Purim. We're going to have a Shana Bet meeting. All those of you who are interested in Shana Bet, there's going to be have a meeting during the break time on either Tuesday or Wednesday. I forgot exactly which the schedule is. At that meeting, you will have a chance to sort of share some of the ideas that you may have for Shana Bet. We'll share some of the ideas that we have. Expectations that we have for Shana Bet. It is an initial meeting. It doesn't obligate you. Doesn't guarantee just a few shows. I mean, you're coming back Shana Bet. Obviously, there's a conversation that must go on with your families when you go back, over vacation time, whether you're here or whether you're there. But this initial meeting, just to get a sense of what the interest is, and to share with you our expectations. So you might want to just come prepared for that meeting if you are interested in Shana Bet, just things that you'd like to see here, some things you'd like to see change, whatever. That's right after Purim. Okay. Now ready to begin. This is every year I start this is the shmooze I give every year. It's going to be a little bit different. Usually I start with a story. I'm going to skip the story this year. Maybe we'll end with the story, but you can start with it. I'd like to start with a few questions, actually. And it relates more to Tainus Esther. You're going to hear on Thursday, shmooze from Rabbi Reichman, Boba Yom on Tainus Esther. But there's a famous question. We're actually going to be fasting this year on Thursday, which is what day of the month of Adar, Shani? Yud Aleph. Okay, Yud Beis is Friday, Yud Gimel is actually Shabbos. The general rule when it comes to fasts is we push them off. Right? Whenever Tisha B'Av may fall out on the Shabbos, we fast the next day, we fast Sunday. We always push off, and yet Tainus Esther, we're makdim, and it's a very striking thing. Tainus Esther seems to be different than all other fasts in that respect. It is different than all the fasts in that respect, right? We fasted this year. We fasted a very unusual thing, but we fasted Friday of Asar B'Tavis. We fast on a Friday. We don't do that. Tainus Esther, we moved up to Thursday. Question number one: why, when it comes to Tainus Esther, are we makdim the fast? We don't find the reference for Tainus Esther in Masechet Megillah in terms of the Mishnayos. And this is machlokas. This is machlokas exactly, even in the Gemara itself. The earliest reference we have to Tainus Esther is the Maseches Sofrim, which is comes later than the Gemaras that we usually learn. Maseches Sofrim mentions that in Eretz Yisrael there was a minhag to fast three fasts of Esther. Right? Which is to commemorate the fast that Esther fasted, as it says in the book of Esther, Megillus Esther, right? Tzumo alai. Leich kenosis kol yudim anitim shushan v'tzumo alai v'alto chlu v'alto shtu shloshes yamim lai v'yom gamani v'narasi etzum kein v'chein avol amelach asher lo kedas v'achasher avadati avadati. She asked them to fast 3 days lai v'yom. It's a famous question, how do they survive? You don't eat for 3 days, you die. Okay, you guys have proven otherwise. This is Baruch Hashem. Right, so what does that have to do with Tainus Esther? That we commemorate, we know that the fast of Esther, three days of fasting, when did they actually fast? Pesach. Okay, in the month of Nisan, on Pesach, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tesvav of Nisan is when they fasted. So the Beis Yosef says there were not noheg today because it's too difficult, and they moved up because Nisan, you're not really supposed to fast Nisan, we moved up the fast to other. But because it's too difficult to fast 3 days, we only do 1 day. That's one shot and why Tainus Esther, what exactly is Tainus Esther about? There's another Mahalik, that's Rabbeinu Tam, and he holds that the 13th of Adar was the Zman Kehila Kol, as the Megillah says. Bnei Yisrael were going out to defend themselves, so they fasted in order to merit victory in battle. Okay, so what's Tainus Esther? It's because that's the day they went out to battle, they fasted as a sign of tshuva, going out to battle, going out to war, v'schus their tshuva, hopefully they'll be able to be victorious. Now, if you look at these two opinions, there is a nafkamina la halacha between these two opinions, and that is pointed out, the Ramah holds that if one is nursing or pregnant or has a headache, can be makel not fast on Tainus Esther, but he or she would be required to make that up at another time. And this is also unusual, because normally one wouldn't be mashlim other fasts. You couldn't fast that day, you don't be mashlim on a different day. So the group points out that the reason for the discrepancy is that the date is not the cause for the fast. Rather, it is commemorate the fast of Esther, which has no connection to any specific date. The 13th of Adar is not the crucial date. However, if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, that we're commemorating the 13th day of others because that's when they went out to battle and that's when they fasted. So the Torah, it doesn't make sense to be mashlim on a different day because it is connected to the day. If you hold like we saw the Maseches Sofer and the Beis Yosef, that it's really not connected to any specific day, the commemorating the fast they did in Nisan, so okay, so you make it up on a different day. But if it's connected to the 13th of the 13th, wouldn't make sense to be mashlim if you had a headache and you couldn't fast. That's an afkamina. But if you look at these two opinions, each one has a certain chisaron. So something seems missing, or is a problem with each opinion. According to the first opinion, we understand why it's called Tainus Esther, because let's commemorate the fast that Esther instituted, the 3 days of fasting. Gather the Jews and fast. But why fast specifically on the 13th of Adar? It's not connected to this day. Why in the 13th of Adar? According to the other opinion, according to Benu Tam's opinion, that it's a Zman Kehila Kol, we understand why it is right on that day, why we fast on the 13th of Adar, but why is it called the fast of Esther? So listen to the words of Mishnah Berurah, quoting Or Chaim. Listen to these words, but listen very carefully. Mishnah Berurah says as follows, V'nikra Tainus Esther, Kidei lizkor shehashem yisporach ro'eh v'shomea kol ish be'eis tzaraso kasher yis'aneh v'yashuv al Hashem B'chol levavo kamo she'asa b'yamim ha'hem. Says Mishnah Berurah. It's called Tainis Esther in order to remind us that a Kadosh Baruch Hu sees and hears every Jew at the time of his troubles. And when he fasts and he returns to Hashem with all his heart, just like he did in those days. What's Mishnah Berurah saying? What does this mean? How does calling the fast Tainis Esther remind us of the fact that Hashem listened to their fasting and their tefillah? On Tainis Esther, on Yud Gimel Adar, one of the greats of our generation passed away. It was Moshe Feinstein, passed away. 1986. Some of those here in the room, we went to visit his kever on 13th of Adar Aleph. We came to the, and then we realized it's, at least I realized it was, he died, it was a leap year that year, it was Adar Sheni, so it was really Yahrzeit is actually on Shabbos. So it's a good thing we went last month. It's 25 years. Now, I at the time was a little bit younger than you were. I was a junior in high school at the time. And our whole yeshiva went to the Levi. It was in Lower East Side in front of MTJ, where he was the Rosh Yeshiva, where he lived. And Binyamin Siegel is not here, I see him. We went along with all the other yeshivas. All yeshiva high schools were there. It was a big scene. But it was a very, I remember, I have a vivid memory of seeing my Rebbeim crying at this Levi. And it was the next, he was actually buried here on Purim, on Shushan Purim, I believe, and it was the largest Levi in Israel at that time. In recorded history. Later, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, when he was nifted, there was even a bigger Levaya, but that, until that time. Now, there's a lot. Rav Moshe lived, he had Arichas Yamim, lived well into his 90s, but it was a tremendous loss for the Jewish people. And I want to share with you a story I actually shared with the Chever that went to his Kever last month. I want to share with you a story, which there are many, many, many stories that you can talk about, Rav Moshe, but just one story that I think captures who he was on some level. And I was thinking about the story again this week because of what happened in Itamar. Rav Moshe was a little boy when he came his first day in Cheder. And the Rebbe points to the word in the Gemara, Itmar. And he asks the Chevra, now again, in those days, when you went to Cheder, it wasn't just, you know, everyone was the same age. You had boys who were been in Cheder with the same Malam, the same Rebbe, already for a few years. It was his first day. He was five years old, but there were boys there who were 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. And he points to the word, the Rebbe points to the word Itmar, and he says, who knows what this word is? And little Moshe Feinstein, first day, says, I know the word Isama. Right? Itamar. And all the boys start laughing at him. So the Rebbe says, no, don't laugh at him. He's right. Because his background, he's learning with his Abba, with his father. He's been learning Torah Shel Chasav till now. Right? And he's right. The word spells Itamar. Right? One of the sons of Aaron, he's correct. But in the Gemara, this word is Itmar. Which means it states, it's about the quote of Machlokas HaMaharim. So Moshe says he learned from that Maisa, he learned two lessons that he kept with him in his entire life. Lesson number one, he realized that people coming from different perspectives may be looking at the same thing in a different way, because they're coming from a different perspective. So he made it his business that any time a Shiloh would come his way, anything in Gemara, he would try to look at it from all different angles. from all different perspectives, and try to really to be very thorough and not to come to the first, jump at the first conclusion. And his learning reflected, and his psak reflected, trying to take into account where this particular person is coming from. Where is he coming from? He's asking this question that's particular to his perspective. That's number one. Number two is that he was so hurt by the other kids laughing at him that he took upon himself that he would never laugh at anybody else for whatever question they may ask, whatever silly comment they may make. He would show patience and care and concern because he remembers how much it hurt him, the feelings that he felt. And this event, he's 5 years old, Moshe Feinstein, was a watershed moment for him in terms of developing his Derech HaLimud and the way he conducted himself in Bin'am L'Chavera. Imagine the maturity of such a person to be able to grow with such a painful experience. Now we come back to Tainus Esther. The fast that was enacted on the 13th of Adar, listen carefully, when the Jewish people were going out to defend themselves, was the result of the people's understanding of the power of Tainus and Tefillah that they witnessed and experienced just under a year before. When Esther called on the Jews of Shushan to fast for 3 days, and then she went in front of the Melech, right, against the decree, you're not allowed to appear without being called, and her life was at stake, the whole Jewish people's lives were at stake, and they fasted for 3 days, and what was the result of their fast for 3 days? Tefillos were answered. The whole thing was overturned. They were saved. They realized that the success of Esther in pleading the Jewish people's case was a result of their tefillah and their fasting. So they went ahead and said, it worked for us before, we're going to do it again. We're about to go into battle, we're going to daven, we're going to fast, because we learned from our experience from last year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shomea tefillah. It works. Tefillah works. And they went on the 13th of Adar, going out to battle, and they fasted again, and they were successful again. Kadosh Baruch Hu Shomea Tefillah. So you hear what we've done? See what we've done here? They're connected. 13th of Adar is commemorating, yes, the fast because they went out to battle, but it's a result of the fast of Esther a year earlier in Nisan that were successful. They learned from their experience, Kadosh Baruch Hu Shomea Tefillah, and we fast on 13th Adar. And that's what we're going to do on Thursday. Now, I want to add a little piece to this, and that is that the truth is, what is hidden in Purim is that Purim and Shushan Purim are also Yimei Tefillah. Not only Tainus Esther is a Yom of Tefillah and Tzaka, but so is Purim and so is Shushan Purim. 3 days of Tefillah we have, not just 1 day. And here's where we come to the story. The story is that a Jew who, him and his wife couldn't have children for 10 years. And generally, the halacha, mikra adin, as it says black and white, is that if you can't have children for 10 years, you're supposed to separate from your wife. And his wife says to him, you know, it's not... We haven't had children. It's time for you. Time for you to look elsewhere. And he says, No. There must be a way. I'm gonna go to the Rebbe. I'm gonna go to Rav Naftali of Rapshitz. Hopefully we'll be getting to his kever in Lantz. I'm gonna go to Poland. I'm gonna go to the Rapshitzer, and he's gonna give us a bracha, and we're gonna have children. And he goes, to make a long story short, he goes to the Rebbe. The Rebbe says, I can't help you. There's nothing I have to do, I can't help you. But there is one Jew at the outskirts of the town. His name is Rav Baruch. And if he gives you a bracha, you will be blessed with a child. The Jew, without hesitation, he goes out to the outskirts of the town, end of the forest, finally sees, well, there's no other sign of any life. There's a little hut there. He goes, knocks at the door, and he says, does Rav Baruch live here? The woman opens the door and says, what do you need from him? He goes, I came here, the Rebbe sent me to get a bracha from Rav Baruch. He says, a bracha from Rav Baruch? Are you joking? No, the Rebbe told me. So she opens the door wider and says, here, try. I haven't been able to do anything for me in all the years I'm married to him. And he looks inside, he sees this guy with a bottle of vodka, drunk. And the Rebbe told him, it's Rav Baruch. Comes to him, he says, Baruch, Rav Baruch. He says, what do you want? In a drunken state, what do you want? He goes, I want you to give me a bracha. I don't have any children. My wife and I have been married for 10 years. Please give me a bracha. He says, get out of here. I'm not giving you any brachas. He says, no, you have to give me, please. He goes, you're more drunken than I am. What are you, crazy? What are you coming to? He says, no, Rabbi, please. The only way to get to a drunk, he grabs the bottle. Grabs the bottle from him. And the guy goes, give me back my bottle. So I'm not giving it back until you give me a bracha. Give it back. I'm not giving it back. He goes, you're crazy. Just give me a bracha. I'll give you back the bottle. He says, fine. He yells at him, you should be blessed to have a child within the year. He gives him back his bottle. The kachav. Within the year, you have a child. Letter that I just handed out to you is a letter that I came across 17 years ago, when I was actually 17 or 18 years ago, doesn't make a difference. I was here actually in the Gris Kollel, and I used to walk up to hear a Volbi, used to give a schmooze, author Ali Shor used to give a schmooze in Kol Torah, up on Rechov Pesach. As often as I could, I would go up there, he would give a shmooze and after Shalosh Shudas into Shabbos. I went up there, I got there a little earlier, I was waiting for him to come, and I came across, this was actually the Shabbos after Purim, and I came across this one of these Aloni Shabbat, you go into any shul in Israel, and there's like 30 different types of, Shabbos newsletter, Divrei Torah things. So this was one of them. It's a photocopy of it, but it was one of these, typed. It was before, fancy printing. And I came across this letter. I started to read this letter, and I go, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. Chaval, I didn't see this a week earlier, before Purim. Basically, what it says in that letter, and I encourage you, I don't have one left. Is there any extras here? Thank you. Anyways, what I encourage you to read this letter is a fellow from Lakewood shared this letter with his chaver in Lakewood. And basically, make a long story short, is that we have a concept on Purim of kola poshet yado nosnin lo. The halacha is on Purim as opposed to the rest of the year when someone asks if it's stuck on. So you don't have to give him unless you know that he's really worthy of it. You should check into somebody. He's asking for tzedakah. You want to know whether he's worth it. So you ask him, does he have a letter? Does he really need it? What does he need it for? What's he collecting it for? You ask him, and if once you're sure, then you give him. On Purim, the halacha is, fellas, the halacha is on Purim, kol haposhei yado nosnin lo. This is the halacha. Anyone who sticks out their hand to you on Purim, doesn't make a difference who he is. It's like the Masa scholarship. Right? Anyone who sticks out their hand, you give him money. Doesn't make a difference if he's a pauper, if he's a 6-year-old Haredi kid who wants to smoke a cigarette, you give him money. Or it's Bill Gates. Even there's a whole focus whether for Jews or non-Jews. Let's take the richest Jew. I don't know who the richest Jew is.
Ironic.
Huh? Ironic. Probably not. But let's say Ironic. Okay. Ravina. Whoever it is, you ask him. You give it. You give him the money. It doesn't make a difference. That's halacha in Purim. That's halacha. You should all be aware of this. Okay, you fill up your pockets on Purim with change, with money. Anyone who sticks out their hand, you give him. So just like we have the concept of kol poshi yad lo sin lo mida keneged mida. When we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the rest of the year, and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me with this, help me with that. So in Shemayim they say, one second, who's he? Who's this person to ask for this? Is he really worthy of it? Does he deserve it? Let's look into it. So sometimes we may be worthy, sometimes we may not be worthy. But when it comes on Purim, because it's a day of kol poshi yad nasanlo, same thing that goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We stick out our hands to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me this, give me that. Kol poshi yad nasanlo. On Purim, whatever we ask for, we're given. So I saw this letter, read this letter. This is unbelievable. The next year, I was in Gris again, and I spoke to Rabbi Miller. Can I advertise his letter? I translate it to English. And what he writes here in his letter is that it's become his practice, the fellow writing the letter, his practice is that instead of staying up late Purim night, he goes to bed early, gets up for Vasikin, even a little bit before Vasikin, learns, says some Tehillim, and he davens Vasikin, Kazaz, the Eis Ratzon. And that's been his minhag to daven Vasikin, and he himself testifies that he has seen tremendous bracha of his tefillos being answered from whatever he asked him for. And this is what he's sharing with everybody else. And that's what we did. So we organized a Vasikin minyan. We had a big minyan here in Gruss, and Time VMT was here. And I can tell you from just my personal experience that 9 months later, after certain complications that we had beforehand, 9 months later, my oldest son was born. And there were two other Gris couples that were also in that minyan. One of them had been married for 5 years, hadn't had children. The same week that my son was born, they had a daughter. And without going into a lot of details, but I can tell you every year subsequent, from things that I personally asked for, unbelievable things. And many have told me that they had the same experience. Those who've heard Yeshurim over the years have had similar type of experiences and unbelievable Yeshuas that have come from it. Chaval not to take advantage of this. Purim is an unbelievable golden opportunity. And there is a mitzvah to drink on Purim. Chayiv inish l'vesumi b'prahaya ad lo yada is a mitzvah. It's machlokes exactly how to apply that mitzvah. Okay, up until when? When is it considered to? But that mitzvah, less mandapoli, that mitzvah is a mitzvah that's connected to the Purim Seuda, which is a mitzvah of the day. It's not a mitzvah of the night. There is no obligation, there's no mitzvah to drink at night. None whatsoever. There is no source for it to drink at night. There's one source for it. But none of you know that source. And it's a das yachid. And if you find it for me, then maybe we'll start to talk about it. But it is not found anywhere in any way that Shulchan Aruch, later poskim, don't quote that source at all. And that's why the minhag here in Yeshiva is not to drink on Purim at night. We don't serve drinks. At the Suda, you'll be served wine, mitzvah is dafka on yayin. But there's no mitzvah to drink. The hefech. It's in your best interest not to drink. Because those who made the mistake and drunk in the past, and apparently there happened some that have done that, they've drunk that night, right? Without heeding to the words that were said here in yeshiva, and they weren't able to get up the next morning and missed out on an opportunity that comes once a year. Kadosh Baruch Hu shomei tefillah all year round. Chas v'shalom. Of course, he's shomei tefillah. And many of us have an experience of that feeling. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not listening to me. Kadosh Baruch Hu is listening to you. Of course, he's listening to you. But it could be he decides that you're not deserving of it. When you have the experience of davening on Purim and you have your tefillahs answered, it opens up worlds for you. Worlds for you in terms of your connection to tefillah for the rest of the year. People ask me, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why does he give us this day like this? So it's connected to what we started with, to what the Tainus Esther. It's connected to that koach of that day, to the three days of fasting and of tefillah. But I think the reason is that because he wants us to daven him. He wants us to feel the need and feel that he's a shomei tefillah. So he gives us the opportunity. But the trick here is that it's a hidden koach. It's like our friend Rav Baruch in our story. We don't even realize the koach that we have. And it's hidden behind a bottle. Dafka the day that there's a mitzvah to drink, and where people get drunk, they don't realize the koach of bracha that they have in them. It's hidden. But it's one of the secrets we like to reveal here in the yeshiva. There will be many other secrets that we'll reveal. Come Purim. But this is an unbelievable opportunity to make this Purim the most unbelievable experience. And there's a reason, I'll let another secret out of the bag here. There's a reason we don't have a Shana Bet meeting before Purim. And that is because every year, there are guys who the Purim Yeshiva changed their lives. That when they, looked at Shana Bet as an outside opportunity, experience a Purim Yeshiva, and now there's like no question, I have to come back. My life is different now. How can I not come back? And the guys in the room here, Shana Bet, will tell you that was the case with them. Guys previous will tell you that's the case. But it all depends on how you approach drinking. It all depends on how you approach the day. It's mamish, a golden opportunity. Take advantage of it. Have a good afternoon.